Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today.
On this episode of A&M Conversation With, Managing Director Dr. David Gruber sits down with Managing Director Deborah Richman from our healthcare industry group to discuss actionable intelligence and what the healthcare industry can learn from the use of big data.
David, thank you for joining us today. We're going to be speaking about the impact of data analytics and actionable intelligence on the key stakeholders in the healthcare industry. I have a few questions for you. First question, what do you see and how do you see the current state of technology within healthcare, including EMRs, population health, and additional products and elsewhere?
Thanks, Deborah. What I see is a lot of investment, but the return on investment has not met expectations. EMR implementation has gone well since HITECH Act. Most hospitals have implemented electronic medical records. The fundamental problem or the challenge there has been it's been designed more from the perspective of administration than it has from the physicians and the associated workflow. In addition, EMRs have not been fully extended into post-acute care, into the ambulatory practices, and elsewhere, as interoperability remains a challenge. Number two is that oftentimes customer requirements are not well defined. They purchase a technology, not exactly knowing what the technology does, and the question is, what does the technology provide for you? And it has to be consistent with the workflow. But what's also important is that, you know, there may be lots of data, but the insights aren't necessarily generated. Number three is that interoperability is a concern. We purchase these systems without full recognition that the systems have to communicate with each other. And how do you create those bridges? Healthcare is increasingly converging, and the former functional area silos, the clinical silos, the operational silos, are really converging now, in one and the same. And then lastly, oftentimes we buy products but not platforms. And the key is for leadership to have a strategic vision of where they want to go and what is the role of data, information, and insights in facilitating cost reductions as well as quality improvement.
Thank you, David. When you think about the market factors that are driving growth, I can think of several, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but we've got evolving delivery models, reimbursement challenges, growth and increase in value-based care, contracting, population health, et cetera. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Number one is cost. So healthcare is 18.3% of GDP. It's going to rise to 19.9% by 2025. And it's $3.5 trillion going to about $5.5 trillion. So we're going to have an increase in spending of $2 trillion within 8 years. It's an incredible amount of money. And when we look at healthcare relative to other industries, we're both inefficient, we're ineffective, and the experience of care is below expectations. So there are big opportunities in that regard. The fundamental driver of change is payment reform. And we're moving from a fee-for-service basis to a value-oriented basis. And what that means is doing less is more. And so the question is, where does technology come into this? Is what we need to do is enable decision-making through data. We go from intuition to data, and then hopefully that drives actions, which ultimately are monitored, and then looking for continuous improvement, because we have to take costs out of the system, we have to enhance outcomes, and we have to improve the experience of care.
Thank you. We clearly have all of the key stakeholders, payers, providers, consumers, employers, everybody is supporting that move from volume to value-based care. You talked about data. What is big data?
Let me just step back. I'm not sure all the stakeholders are supporting that move. In healthcare, lots of people are making a lot of money. And, you know, inertia is a wonderful thing, especially if your competitive position is strong. Change is difficult, and what we're talking about is fundamental change. And that's going to cause conflict. And there will be the pie, maybe slightly bigger, but the way the pie is divided up is going to change. And that poses real conflict for a lot of people. In terms of what do we mean by big data, there's a misnomer out there because big data does not imply insights. And what I see, and again, I've been in healthcare for 35 years, but looking at this for the last 3 to 5 years, and a few things have come forward. One is data is not information. And what we mean is data are scattered bits of data information, I mean, it's organized perhaps in a spreadsheet or a dashboard. But that's much different than an insight, which is, what is the information that we have, but what is that telling you? What is the story? What is the big takeaway? And it's a different skill set. And one of the problems we've had over the last 5 to 10 years is IT is not insights. It's a different type of person. It's an analytical type of person that does that.
So what you're saying then, depending upon their rapidity or not of that move from volume to value-based care, there will be a requirement for intelligence and analytics, data analytics in the marketplace that goes beyond what we've had to date.
Oh, dramatically higher. Mm-hmm. But I also want to emphasize that healthcare is a labor business. And so we don't need the rocket scientists. And we hear a lot about, you know, these beautiful visualizations and stuff that I don't even understand. You know, we're in a labor business. That's where most of the costs are. And it's really very straightforward. Where is the low-hanging fruit? So in population health, what we're trying to do is identify the 5 to 10% of the population that accounts to 49 to 68% of costs. And then once we identify who they are, how do we better manage their costs? How do we use prevention? How do we use, you know, proactive intervention? How do we better manage them? How do we make sure that medication and treatment adherence is at a higher rate? So there's lots of things that we do that it's low tech, but we need the information to drive the activities going forward. The other part of this is we need to monitor. We need to close the loop. We need to see, is that intervention making a difference? And if it's not, why not?
Thank you. When we think about huge changes for an organization, what are the top three barriers, do you think, to an organization really creating data-driven operations and utilization of it?
Well, I would say, for one, we met the enemy, and it's us. I'm not sure there's a good fundamental understanding of insights, you know, data and information. People get spreadsheets, but the question is, what are the insights to be generated? And typically, there are relatively few of those. And so, again, in the healthcare profession, you know, there are a lot of nurses, there are a lot of professionals, very empathic, they take care of patients. And from the leadership standpoint, we all have our dashboards. But the question is the data valid? And are those the right KPIs that we should be looking at? And then being objective in that regard. So that's number one, and that's kind of a cultural change. There's also the skill sets that's required. I think that the second big barrier is, what are the enablers to generate the insights? And technology is not the answer, or technology is the answer. But you got to look at the technology and look at the output of that technology. And is it facilitating decision making as opposed to throwing out dashboards with lots of information? And the question is, what does that mean? And then the third barrier is, you know, there is an investment requirement. It's comparatively small. But again, you need the right people to be able to drive the process, because it's all about change management going forward. How do you create a data-enabled organization? And it's not a mass effect. It's not a revolution. It's something that we should do on a day-to-day basis for every single department. And so then, how do we enable that? How do we facilitate that entire process so that it's at the fingertips of the decision makers to make the right decision at the macro level?
Thank you. What do you think are the risks of an organization that does not adopt a data-driven approach to their business?
I think it's huge. First of all healthcare is local. And so every market is a little bit different, and the role of data and fact-based decision-making will vary over time, but it will be required overall. There's a lot of waste in healthcare. If you look at the U.S. at 18.3% of GDP, Europe is at 10 to 12%. So you have 50 to 70% embedded waste. We need efficiencies. And the way to get efficiencies is through, you know, data-driven decision-making, one step at a time, incrementally. And then over time, you'll wind up with a tremendous saving. From competitive purposes, absolutely necessary.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.